Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And we want to say how much we appreciate you listening in today. And we hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes. And we're going to get right into the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do want to welcome all of our listeners today, those right here on WATA 1450, and then our Saturday broadcast on WZAP 690 AM and also 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. We appreciate the opportunity to be on the different radio stations. Noah is not with us today. He's working. So we miss him. We'll try our best to do the part that he usually does. Of course, he does a better job than I do when it comes to all the technical part of it. And I really do appreciate the help that he gives me on the radio broadcast. Now, once again, this is brought to you by the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. And we are located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is just above the Willow Creek Golf Course, which is on Highway 105 South, Baird's Creek Road, and then you go 1 mile, just a few miles outside of the Boone city limits. School is getting ready to start. The university, the high school, the elementary schools, and on Sunday mornings we have Sunday school for all ages. We also have a college class. We have a college ministry called Collegians for Christ, and they meet every Tuesday night in the Plymouth Student Union. If you know a young person attending university this fall, let them know about the Collegians for Christ. They come out, they have a Bible study, and they always have a good time. We get to go be with them from time to time, and we really enjoy and appreciate what they do. Now, we're just going to pick up where we left off last week. This past several weeks, we have been looking at the subject of finances, what the Bible says about personal finances. Now, it has a great deal to say about finances in general, but the Bible says that the borrower is servant to the lender. That is the verse we use to begin with. And we've been talking about several things concerning money. We are looking at what I've called the four R's of money, the receiving of money. And that can be as a gift, that can be your wages, that can be interest, that can be selling something, making money. What do you do with the money that you receive? Then we looked at the rule of money, talking about giving money. And most people in their lives will just simply give away a lot of money if you counted it up. If you're talking about tithing, if you're talking about birthday gifts, if you're talking about giving to charity, you know, what does the Bible say about giving money? God gives you, He entrusts you to be a good steward. What do you do with it? Then last week we were talking about the retention of money. And when we think about the retention of money, we are usually thinking about saving money. And we said the number one reason why we should save money is for emergencies. And we gave the Bible precept talking about being prudent. What the Bible says about prudence, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 15 said, "The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge." A prudent person, they think ahead. They look at a situation for what it is. They have a good head on their shoulders. They're thinking about the future. They calculate whether something is a good opportunity or a bad opportunity. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself." A prudent person looks at life as it is. He sees that not everything in life is going to be a bed of roses. It's not going to be a easy road. There are times when evil is going to come. Emergencies are going to come. Cars are going to break down. People are going to get sick. You can lose your job. You can lose your investments. You can Now, that there's all kinds of things that happen in life. A prudent man foresees the evil and hideth himself. We said that debt is the number one, or not debt, but savings is the number one way to free yourself from the cycle of debt. And so you have an emergency fund. And when something comes up, you do not put it on a credit card. You have money to pay for it. And so the refrigerator breaks, or the transmission in the car goes out, or a tree falls on the fence at your house. You know, whatever comes up in life, you have a buffer there. So you're not continually going back to debt. Some people's plan for emergencies in life is simply, oh, well, I have a credit card. I'll put it on the credit card. If you live that way, you will continually be caught in the cycle of debt, because things are always going to come up. And so the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. He thinks ahead. He realizes emergencies, evil things are going to come. Now, the rest of that verse is interesting. It says, but the simple pass on and are punished. The simple in the Bible's a person that they don't understand much. They don't have much knowledge. They don't see life as it really is. And they say, oh, I'll worry about it when it comes. And when it comes, they are punished because of it. They did not prepare. They did not think ahead. And so last week, we spent the whole time just talking about how important it is to save some money, to set some money aside for when emergencies come. Now, there are other ways, and I just want to mention this quickly today, but I don't want to rush through it. But we talked about this at church when I taught on this subject and during the Adult Vacation Bible School class. And we just took some time to talk about other ways to save money. You know, money is hard to come by. And when you can save some, you've got some to put back. So how do we save money? What are some ways? Let me just quickly go through these. I don't have Bible verses for all these, but we could find the principle in the Bible, of course. But number one, how do you save? What are some ways to save? Well, preventive maintenance. And I just quickly mentioned this going off the air last week. But we talked about such things as making sure there's oil in your car and you do an oil change when you're supposed to, and paint on the house, just things like that, changing your water filter, you know, keeping air in your tires. If you don't have the proper air pressure, your tires wear out, and when they wear out, you have to replace them more often. Just simple little things that we can do. And if we will be diligent to do that, it will save us money down the road. Our parents, our grandparents placed a lot more emphasis on taking care of the things that we have. And that would certainly fall under maintenance. But let me give you a Bible principle concerning that very thing. And I read this morning in my daily devotional, or yesterday morning it was, Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 23 said, Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks. Now that word diligent, it comes from a word which means to have a handle, to be tight-fisted. Somebody says, well, they're stingy. Now, stingy and just being diligent are two different things. Being diligent is I'm watching over my money. I'm watching how it goes out and how I spend it, and also over what I have. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. You have flocks, you have herds, you have cattle, you have animals. Pay attention to them. Make sure they're healthy. Make sure they don't have the mange. Make sure the flies are not in their eyes. And there's a lot of examples in the Bible of the shepherd watching after the sheep and anointing them. And that was to keep the insects off of them. You read about that in Psalms chapter number 23. So look well to thy herds. Why? Verse 24, for riches are not forever. And doth the crown endure to every generation? The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and herbs of the mountain are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field, and thou shalt have goats' milk enough for thy food, and for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance of thy maidens. And so we find the principle in the Bible that if we'll take care of what we have, it will take care of us. My grandpa Cornett was a pastor, a preacher, and he pastored right over here in Watauga County for years, the Watauga Baptist Church. And my mom told me that he would tell them, his children, if you take care of your car, it will take care of you. And so just preventive maintenance is a prime example of a way to save money. Number two, do not be wasteful. Now, do you know the Bible has a great deal to say about waste and waste being wasteful? For example, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9, he also that is slothful in his work, that's talking about somebody that's lazy in their work, is brother to him that is a great waster. So the slothful person, the Bible says, is a brother to the wasteful person. Laziness and wastefulness go together. You'll find them in the same house together. The Bible says they're brothers. And so don't be wasteful. Now, we live in a wasteful society. We live in a throwaway society. You buy something, it breaks. It's not made to repair most of the time. It's just made to throw away. And but being not being wasteful is a way of life. The original people who were what we might say green and saved and recycled was the generation that grew up during the Depression. My grandparents and most of us may know some older people that lived through the Depression and were raised by parents that lived during the Depression, and they learned how to take care of what they had and not be wasteful. My wife's mother is the first person I ever saw rip a Bounty paper towel in half. And some of you may know Miss Lana. She worked at the bank down here for years and years, and that's my mother-in-law. And when I first went to begin to date my wife 28 years ago, I remember we went up there and had spaghetti and there were no napkins, and she just grabbed a Bounty paper towel and ripped it in half and handed me half of it. That's the first time I'd ever seen that done in my life. Now you buy them that way. But once upon a time, they came twice the size that they are now. And then you begin to, I guess a lot of people started ripping them in half, trying to save things. So just don't be wasteful. My grandparents, they saved things like nails. They saved containers and used them over. They saved their newspaper and used it to start a fire. And on we could think about how not to be wasteful. Some people, they don't like leftovers. They won't eat leftovers. I was talking in a restaurant a few weeks ago, and the gentleman I was with, they said, well, it's cheaper just to buy a whole plate of pancakes. And the man said, well, I don't want a whole plate. I just want one. And the guy said, well, I'll bring you one. He said, I appreciate you not being wasteful. He said, you wouldn't believe the amount of food that I throw away. Learn to eat leftovers. Spaghetti's better the second day anyway, and a lot of dishes are better. And so just talking about ways to not be wasteful, learn to grow something, learn to save what you have and use what you have. So don't be wasteful. A lot of people, they say, well, if the economy got bad, I would grow a garden. Do you know how many days it takes to get the produce from a garden? Go to a store, pick up a package of corn or beans, these seeds, and you will see on it, it says a lot of it, 45 days to maturity, 60 to 80 days to maturity, 85, 90 days to maturity, depending on, you don't just go out and, sow corn and get corn on the cob in a couple of weeks. You better think ahead. But you'd be amazed what you can save by just learning how to grow something and supplement your food bill, supplement your grocery bill. I grew some spinach this summer, and it's been coming in. It's one of the quickest things that will come in, and I've been harvesting spinach and for weeks now. You go to the store and you buy a little container of spinach, and it's about $4. A large container can be $6, $8. I went out the other day, spent 15 minutes, got some fresh air, got some sunshine, picked a whole bowl full of spinach, brought it in, cleaned it up, put it in a baggie. I told my wife, I said, that's about $10 worth of spinach right there. Didn't cost me $2.50 for six plants, something like that. Here's what the Bible says about that. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 23. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. When it says much food is in the tillage of the poor, that means in the plowed ground. There's a lot of food goes to waste. There's a lot of opportunity goes to waste just because people don't know how to do things. Learn to do something for yourself. You need some painting done? You can learn to do that for yourself. Learn how to do a few things. When I was growing up, our parents would put patches on the knees of our jeans, and we'd wear them right on and on. Learn how to do something. Learn how to save. Do not be wasteful. There's lots of ways. Preventive maintenance. Don't be wasteful. Just a few more, and I'll move on to something else. Number three, make every trip count. We live close to town, and it's a great temptation to make multiple trips into town. If you live farther away, you'll think ahead more. But the closer you live, the more trips that you waste. You say, oh, I need a gallon of milk. I'll just run in and get it. Well, that gallon of milk, whatever it costs, you can add $2 or $3 or $5 depending on how far you had to travel to get that. Make every trip count. Here's something I heard from a preacher years ago. He was preaching on finances and young people and trying to help them out. And he said this, he said, stay out of the mall. He said, if you go out on a Friday night with your family to eat supper and you say, what are we going to do now? Don't go to the mall. If you don't have a reason to go to the mall, stay out of the mall. Stay out of Walmart. A lot of times you go in there, you don't need anything. You're just wandering around. Stay out of the stores. If you do not have a reason to be in there, stay out of it. Stay away from the temptation to spend and buy things you don't need. Here's something else. Do not pay for things that are free. I remember years ago, the first time I ever seen a cooler full of water for sale. And it was right beside the water fountain. And this is probably 30-some years ago. I was in high school. I remember it. And I remember laughing. And here was a big old brand new cooler stocked full of water. And I remember telling my friend that I was with, and we went in there to fill up our water bottles. It was at a golf course, to be specific. And I remember telling my friend, why would anybody buy water? Here it is for free. But it's amazing how many people are buying water. Hey, water's free. Water fountains are everywhere. Do not pay for somebody to consolidate your debt. Do it yourself. Pay off your debts yourself. Don't pay somebody to do that. Here's something else. Do not pay any more in taxes than you legally have to. A lot of people, they go in, especially young people, and they say, take out the maximum deductions so I will get a refund at the end of the year. All you are doing in doing that is making the government an interest-free loan that they take and use what is really your money. I promise you, you could put that money to better use if you would have the discipline to do it. Save it yourself. Put it in your own savings account. Take it out yourself. Don't let the government do that. Hey, if they make a mistake and it goes the other way, they'll take yours. They'll take extra, and it may be years before you get it back. Do not make them an interest-free loan. And so there is a lot of ways, if we would just think about it, that we could save money. So there is. the receiving of money. What do you do when you get it? The rule of money. How do you give money? The retention of money. How do you save money? Now, what we want to begin to look at just in the next few minutes is the reusing of money. Do you realize that's all we do with money? For the majority of what we do with our money, if we don't save it, we're reusing it. I've gotten dollar bills before that somebody has written on it, you know, Tennessee, Alaska, whatever. And I don't know, I've never done that, but, you know, all the places money. Well, that is common knowledge, I would think, that money goes all over the United States and even the world. And money lasts for years and years and years. You get a handful of quarters, and they'll be from the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, and dollar bills are 10 and 20 years old. We just reuse it. It comes in, we repurpose it, we send it back out. And that's what we do with money. And we either do that wisely or unwisely. How do we spend? Talking about the reuse of money. How do we spend our income? How do we use our savings when we get into it? What do we do with a bonus when it comes along? There's a verse in the Bible, the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse number 6. It describes the average American household. And by the way, this is describing a nation that is being judged by God for going away from Him, for turning their back upon the Lord. But here's what the Bible says in the book of Haggai. He said, "Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes." And so the prophet Haggai, he is describing a nation that is under the judgment of God, and how that they sow and they work, but they have little. They earn wages, but the wages that they earn, they put it into a bag, and it's like putting it into a bag that has holes in it. Have you ever felt like that? That you were just earning your money and you come down, maybe you get paid on the first, and by the end of the week you look around, you're almost out of money. You say, "Oh, well, I just got paid. Where did my money go? I feel like I've been robbed. Where did it go? Where did it all go?" I've told this before about when I worked when I was in high school, and I was on the program where you go to school half a day and you work half a day. So I made pretty good money even during the school year. I would get off of school and I would go to work. I would usually be there by 12 o'clock and I would work till 5:30. And so I had pretty good hours. And then I worked on Saturday as well. And at that time, I made pretty good money. I got paid every Friday. And when I got paid on Friday, I was rich. I would go to the bank. I would get my check cashed. And I would put that money in my pocket. And I was rich. But by Thursday, something had happened. I was poor again. I didn't have any money. I couldn't do anything. There was no savings. There was no prudence, no thinking ahead about what I was going to do with that money. You know, if my car payment came up, and I had a car payment when I was 16 years old, I would just take it right out of that week's check. And so I just paid it, and I was just had half, you know, and that's how I lived. I didn't budget anything. I didn't save anything. I didn't think anything about it. I lived for many years in my adult life simply like this, paycheck to paycheck. It come in and it went out. I got it and I spent it. And to be honest, that is a very painful, discouraging way to live life. And there's been many, many studies done in America about your average American. That's how they live, paycheck to paycheck, rich one day and broke the next day. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20, it says, "There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up." The Bible says that is a earmark of a foolish person. that spends up all of their money. Maybe you've heard it said to a child, somebody would say, I've got a hole burning in my pocket. I've got some money. I've got to get to the store and I've got to spend it. Do you know, most people are familiar with the story in the Bible of the prodigal son. And the prodigal son, that word prodigal, have you ever thought about that word, what it means? It means to be a waster. That's what the word prodigal means. And the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son in the Bible, is the story of a wasteful young man. Luke chapter 15, verse number 14, the Bible said, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And if you're not familiar with that story, the youngest son, he went to the father. He said, I want my inheritance now. And the father gave him his part of the inheritance, and he left, and he went into a far country. He went down to the big city. I started to say Cine. That's sort of could be the truth there. But he went down to the big city. He went down to the big town, and he spent all. He just burned through his inheritance. He spent all that money, and when he had spent it all, and he went to write a check one day, and it bounced, and they said, buddy, you're in trouble now. And man, he ended up in a mess. Well, he finally had some sense and came to himself, the Bible says, and went home to his father, but he had already messed up. God does not bless us with an income just to waste it, just to spend it, just to blow it, but to be a good steward of it. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now, some people have the idea that money is evil, but money is not evil. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil. That's what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. For the love of money is the root of all evil, and which while some coveted after, they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The chasing of money, the making of money the number one object in our lives, the doing anything for money, robbing, stealing, a lot of killing, all of that is for money. It's done for money. So the root of all evil is the love of money. But God blesses us with resources. God blesses us with things in our life so that we can be a good steward over the things that the Lord has blessed us with. So next week, we're going to begin and we're going to look at how to use money and be a good steward over the things that God has blessed us with. And the first thing we're going to look at is how that we ought to budget our money. And that comes under the heading in the Bible of being prudent and of being diligent and of being a good steward. And there's many good stewards in the Bible, such as Joseph, such as the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31, the wise man in the book of Proverbs. And in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have several examples of a good steward versus a bad steward. So we're talking about the reuse of money. The Bible says that the borrower is servant to the lender, and how dangerous that is. That's how we started this study. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 6 said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Talking about training children. And the very next verse says, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. So we appreciate you listening in to the Blessings of Liberty broadcast today. It is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We'd love to refer you to our church website. There's all kinds of information there about services and ministries and archived radio broadcast. MountLebanonBC.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org. www.thelifeofliberty.org. Thanks for listening, and have a good day. God bless.